This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
I am Mark Dolan. It's FUBAR Radio, the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. We will eat the news straight after Block Party.
Living arrangement as the scene when you know all the grandparents are, and that's what it's like for me at the moment.
Yeah. That pisses me off. Imagine that, just we stay in the city, like all of them there.
Yeah, like you said, I don't think that's any
kind of living arrangement for anyone.
Where do the parents sleep? Yeah.
They sleep between the mattresses.
Well, that's not like a waterbed, but it's just piss.
Yeah.
It's just piss.
Yeah. Heated blanket. Why is it damp? Why is it golden?
Ooh, this is
it's just like your ticket.
I've got a golden bed sheet.
Every Friday, The Jack Mate Show, from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, due to an accident of birth, I'm Mark Dolan, and this is Mark Dolan Eats the News. Yes, indeed, a weekly digest of the big stories trending around the world. Now, let's keep this snappy, guys. I've got a one-hour delivery slot booked with Morrisons, and those things are like gold dust. So, it's been a huge week. David Cameron is feeling the heat. His renegotiations with Europe are going about as well as when I renegotiate with my wife. To leave you in no doubt, that means very badly. Recently, I suggested we lie the milk down in the fridge rather than stand it up to create more space. Vetoed. Big fat no. I bought a holder for all the TV remotes. Now, isn't that a fantastic idea? A dinky little thing, a holder for all the remotes, keep them in one place. Apparently it's ugly and is being sent back. Am I sharing too much? Google is now a more valuable company than Apple. I just Googled it. It's true. It's actually true. Apple boss Tim Cook wanted to go on Twitter to deny this, but his iPhone just ran out of power. Meanwhile, there's continued fury about Google's tax deal with the government, a deal that makes even Gary Barlow's accountant jealous. See that, Jimmy Carr, Gary Barlow, take your pick. Medical research suggests you can tell if a woman is ovulating from her face. Now, I've got to say, I can tell because my wife is ovulating. I get cutlery thrown at me. Jerry Hall has revealed a £2.5 million engagement ring. That's right, £2.5 million, which is obviously fantastic. On the downside, she now has to see Rupert Murdoch's orgasm face. She's got to do heavy petting. She's got to make out with Rupert Murdoch. You can keep your ring. Rihanna's new album has been released and it's a free album. Phil Collins' latest album is also free, but still not selling well. One in five people in high security jails, it turns out, are men who are Muslims, which proves that non-Muslims are the ones we've got to worry about. You're listening to Mark Dolan Eats the News. It's a weekly digest of the week's biggest stories. Now, the tennis match-fixing scandal rumbles on and it raises the possibility that Tim Henman not winning Wimbledon was actually a decision. World Athletics are in crisis as Adidas pull their sponsorship in the light of the doping scandal. It means that, ironically, the World Athletics boss now has three stripes on his head. The Oscars take place this week amid a race storm. It's a little-known fact that ginger people are also underrepresented at the Oscars, but that's widely regarded to be a good thing. It's been revealed that 4 in 10 UK school teachers have been attacked at some point in their teaching career. Now, at FUBAR Radio, we believe this is a disgrace. Of course it is. But a small price to pay for long holidays and all those confiscated iPhones. Now, permission has been given to scientists to begin genetically modifying embryos. That's right, they're going to be allowed to genetically modify embryos. This is a good thing. It means we can make sure Donald Trump never happens again. Facebook is 12 years old today, and I must say Facebook has taken over my life. The other day, I received an actual letter through the post and tried to like it. How do I get a smiley face on this thing? How do I retweet a letter? I'll tell you what I really like. Terry Wogan. Yes, indeed. Terry Wogan very sadly passed away this week. He was the greatest entertainment broadcaster of his generation. He had no peers, no rivals. Terry was in a league of his own. an Irish icon who became a British icon. We love you, Terry. Your wit, your intelligence, your interesting hair, your cream roll neck sweaters, everything. And we miss you already. R.I.P. the King of the Airwaves. Here's the name of the show.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Definitely remembering Sir Terry Wogan today as we digest the big stories of the week in the company of two very accomplished people. Comedian, entrepreneur, broadcaster, multimedia queen, woman about town, Eleanor Conway. Welcome to Mark Dolan Eats the News.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to eat your news, babes.
Well, you can... my news, if it gets in your mouth at any point, I feel that's a result. And you heard the warm, muscular laugh of the comedian, comedy promoter and producer and Soho icon David Mulholland.
Yeah, good to be here.
Listen, it's great to have both of you here. We've got like lots and lots of stories to get through. Let's just kick off briefly, Eleanor, with Terry Wogan. And that's a story we can't really be hilarious about because this is a passing of a real, genuine, sort of bona fide national treasure. But can I just ask, like, were you a fan? You don't have to be a fan. This is FUBAR Radio. You could say, I didn't like Terry Wogan.
No,
that would be okay.
Well, I think there's been a lot of dissent there recently, and I think it just makes you feel a bit sad because it's people that you grew up with. And so it kind of reminds you of your own mortality.
I think it's a really, really good point, definitely. And let's be honest, David, as a North American man of descent, but you do live in this country, probably not hugely aware of Terry Wogan, but as an American, talk show hosts, they are like part of your life. In America, the late night talk show scene, when
absolutely.
David Letterman retired, it was like a state funeral, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he hasn't even passed away. Just him not being on TV is already like a death.
Yeah, he's gone to go smoke cigars. That's it's a shame.
It's not been quite the same without him. Were you aware of Terry Wogan? Did he cross your radar?
Yeah, he did. I've actually been in the UK for 15 years, so yeah, I've been here. I've been here long enough that I go home and I feel like I'm visiting a foreign country that's very familiar.
Do you know what? I think we all feel that when we go to America these days. But interestingly enough, one of Terry Wogan's many great achievements was to have an unprecedented three nights a week. This was in the 90s. So the chat show was called Wogan, started on a Saturday night, and then it was stripped to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, which is like nearly has the scale of the American entertainment system. In America, whether it's Jimmy Kimmel or all of the other guys that are on, that's like five nights a week, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's
a
huge
5 nights a week
culture of late night entertainment on TV.
Yeah. With The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, that was 4 nights a week. But yeah, it's 5 nights a week generally. The thing that the US shows do that the UK shows don't do is that they have a huge staff of writers.
Yeah, that's
and
obviously. I know, and I do as well. There are 14 Vietnamese people outside writing my material for me, which is why some of the references are
But some of it's misspelled.
Yeah, correct. just a bit. And definitely misperformed.
I thought you did a very fantastic smooth job.
Well, you're too kind. I've been rehearsing since midnight of last night.
Oh, bless you.
But listen, here's the thing. I wonder, as somebody that's done lots of broadcasting yourself, Eleanor, in front of the camera, radio and everything else, I do wonder whether there's a paucity of platforms.
Sorry, what does that mean?
Well, I don't even know myself. I might
just
have to Google
it. What are you
doing?
Why are you tripping us up? Why are you trying to put in like really horribly long words? I don't understand.
The boss, Duncan, said, can you make the show a bit more like QI?
Right, what's paucity?
We can't afford Stephen Fry at the moment. So therefore, every day I'll put a weird word in. But basically, I wonder whether we don't have enough chat shows in this country. I'm just wondering whether the next Terry Wogan might never sort of make it, because it seems like you've got Graham Norton.
Yeah.
And then maybe, I think Alan Carr's got a chat show.
The gays have got it all, man. The gays have got it all. They've got to open it up for some women, I think.
So are you suggesting that I change my lifestyle in order to get on primetime?
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, I don't know how close your marriage is, but look, let's make it closer.
It's in ruins.
Oh, God.
Let's get cracking. Let's talk about some big stories of the week. First of all, let's talk about drinking, because the chief medical officer of this country who cuts quite a grave funereal figure, has said that actually any amount of alcohol will nudge you towards almost certain death. We've been clinging, haven't we, David, for years now to these 21 units.
We've been trying to, and now they say it's 14 units. I saw the article about it, and she's saying you should consider drinking your risk of cancer with every single drink.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, she must be a joy to go for a drink with.
Absolutely, the ultimate dinner party guest.
Isn't stress also a contributor to cancer and heart disease?
Yeah, well,
it would up your stress level.
I agree with you. And also, I think just being a boring git is pretty bad for your health.
Absolutely.
Because you're not going to have any friends. You're probably going to die a lonely death.
No, okay, good, thanks. But I don't drink anymore, so now, thank you for that.
This was a deliberate provocation to Eleanor, because Eleanor, fantastically, and I must say enviably, is completely teetotal now and are the cleanest woman, living woman in showbiz. Well, I've already got, I'm on the waiting list for your liver.
Well, get in line.
Your
get in
key
line.
Organs are something I've had my eye on for quite a while.
I mean, I think it
now.
Does take about 20 years to sort of repair any vital organs. So maybe, like, leave it another 18 years if you manage it that long.
Now, listen, I think it's perfect. You've got the template for the ultimate showbiz sort of story, okay, which is you've done lots of, as I said, lots of broadcasting. You're brilliant, entertaining. You're a comedian now as well. But you've had your booze and drugs hell. You come out of it. So there's definitely at least one autobiography in you.
Yeah, or an Edinburgh show, Walk of Shame, coming to an Edinburgh festival near you soon.
Nicely. So you are planning an Edinburgh show.
Yeah.
And it is actually, one of the aspects is about your decision to be a teetotaler.
Yeah, it's all about sort of sex, drugs, drink, addiction.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't sound like an interesting show. Nothing to see
here.
Come in,
have a drink. Let me tell you about why I stopped drinking.
yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm feeling really sick today, Mark.
Well, now tell me, do you want to take a seat? Because I don't know why you're standing up. If you're feeling fragile, let's get you sat down. We've got a cup of tea in your hand.
Yeah, I've got a cup of tea. I like the movement. I like to be able to kind of feel free, but it's thank you.
You are poorly. You've come on from what you've got. What have you got? What have you got?
I've got the lurgy.
Okay.
I've got the lurgy.
All right. Is that a posh word for a cold?
Yeah. Well, no.
A sniffle?
No, I think it's more than a cold, Mark. I think that my glands would have like something to say about the C class of cold.
Don't want to be unkind.
Are your glands eloquent?
they're something. I don't think eloquent is the word.
I must say, it's the radio. I should say it's brilliant to have you, and you look a little peaky. This morning you're whiter than a Nigel Farage dinner party.
I am pretty pasty, guys, pretty pasty.
But you're here, and even a half baked Eleanor Conway is someone else's full loaf.
right. Thanks, mate.
So listen, when did you decide to stop the old cheeky drinking?
I stopped about 19 months ago after I woke up in bed with someone's husband. I decided this is probably...
That happens to me all the time.
Yeah, right? Like your wife's husband. I like that. That's good, smooth. And I just thought, do you know what? I'm not really going very far with this. How am I going to meet the man of my dreams if I keep waking up with other people's husbands?
Yes, I know. We've all been there with the other people's husbands, David.
One of the things I was thinking about with this since I've been living in the UK. It's one of the things that I don't think that this country would reproduce without alcohol.
Well, I think, I mean...
We'd have a population of 11, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
We are well renowned for our sort of like drunkenness, aren't we?
I've never met a woman in this country that didn't involve meeting her having alcohol somehow involved.
Oh my God, Tinder runs on Chardonnay, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Are you going to do that thing that lots of people who used to imbibe always say, which is they always say, I'm glad I did it. It was part of my journey. I wouldn't give that up, but I'm also glad I don't do it anymore. Are you one of those people? Pleased that you had your caning years?
Yeah, totally. I just wish I'd like quit maybe 4 years earlier.
Okay. Well, I don't, because you've been brilliant company for those 4 years.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
Because those are the 4 years I've pretty much known you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I just want to wipe your memory out of my drunken mind.
It was fantastic. I used to get... I got actually drunk breathing near you, which was
a fantastic
thing. At one point, you were actually a fire hazard. But now...
Right.
Look at you. So, and life is better without? What
do
you think?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's good, man. It's really good.
Do you think we should all stop? Do you think that actually it's a terrible social menace?
I don't know. I do think, just from my personal experience, that you do use it as kind of like, it's kind of like a full stop. If you're feeling a bit crap about yourself, or if you've got a problem, our sort of like our sort of like thing is to
release
kind of go,
valve.
Yeah, yeah, our release valve is like, oh, let's go and get ammo to sort it out.
Oh, our solution, our sticking plaster. Yeah.
And I know that was very true in me, but I don't know. I mean, it's hard because I feel like I don't want to be preachy. Do you know what I mean?
Oh no, be preachy.
No, well, I just, you know, for me, I feel like learning to live life without booze is quite difficult.
Now, listen, what are the best bits
of
not drinking?
I can afford shit. Like, sorry for swearing. I can afford stuff. Like,
I love it when you swear. I think it's very edgy.
Yeah, I'm so edgy. I can afford stuff. My relationships are better. I wake up in zone 6 less often.
Yes, I know. I do think zone 6 is just as a result of problem drinkers. That's why there's just a population there. If you actually go to zone 6, you'll find that those people are in pretty bad shape.
Bless you.
A lot of red faces.
I think if it wasn't for alcohol, there wouldn't be enough people to have a zone 6.
No, that you're quite right. I mean,
it would just be the green belt and Heathrow.
Well, it's an interesting perspective that you have as you're a Londoner now. You're actually a Brit. Have you got a British passport?
Yeah.
There you go. You see, you're proper paid up. But as a North American, I mean, I don't know if you've, you know, think back to when you were there, but British friends I have complain because when they go to LA, they have a glass of wine for dinner, that's fine. And then they say, to the waiter, can I have another glass of wine, please? Second glass of wine, please. And at that point, it's like, does Mark have a problem?
Yeah. It's like,
and they don't realise that as British people, with a second glass of wine, we haven't even started yet.
Absolutely.
That's like the prelude to the thing. But America has got a very puritanical attitude towards alcohol, more so than here, don't they?
Well, especially Los Angeles. I just came back from a month in L.A.
Nice.
So, yeah, no, it's nice. Very, very fresh in my mind. No, the sort of thing where you go out and you would have, like, a martini, or maybe, at a push, too.
Really?
And then, but the funny thing was, is that seemed fine. That seemed fine, because that's what everyone was doing.
So, actually, you slot into it. So, if you're in an environment where there isn't a drinking culture, you drink less.
Yeah.
Because we're all chameleons, we're social animals, and we're pack animals. You sort of just blend in.
I had a month where I only had one hangover.
That's
phenomenal.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like a holiday to me.
It was really fun.
It sounds like boot camp.
Do you think
I drank almost every day, but I didn't have a hangover.
David, do you think it was to do with the fact that you have to drive everywhere in LA?
Yeah, I think that has a part to do with it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I always was like, I'm never moving to LA because I need to drink, and now I don't drink. I'm like, I could possibly move to LA. So that sobriety has opened up.
Although I'm told
place.
What has changed.
Now there's Uber.
Well, I was going to say, what's changed LA is Uber, because for the first time, you know, you can drink with impunity, really, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And someone will pick you up and drive you and drop you home.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It sounds pretty good. I mean, they do say that alcohol death rates can double depending on where you live. So clearly it's regional too. But whatever way you look at it, we do have a dysfunctional relationship with the bottle, don't we? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Having all three of us perform outside of London and did a Friday, Saturday night, and you see people in just all sort of states of disrepair.
Oh, yeah.
Does it bother you as taxpayers that you're paying to put these people back together?
No, because those people have paid the taxes.
Right.
I do think,
I mean, that's what alcohol and tobacco prices are all about.
It's a very good point.
They're the people who are paying for all of this.
They're bankrolling the NHS.
Yeah.
They've earned it. Yeah.
I do feel like we'd have a healthier nation if we didn't rely so much on building relationships that spawn out of a drunken one-night stand. Like, I do feel like we'd have a better...
Okay, but let's look around the world. Let's look at what cultures drink and what cultures don't drink.
Okay.
Let's see, the Japanese drink and the Swedes drink and the Brits drink and North Americans drink and Syria doesn't. Now, which one do you think is going to be? Which of those countries do you think is the one that's going, that's not the best place to
but
live?
But aren't we going in and bombing Syria? Isn't it all our fault anyway?
They were fighting first.
All right.
What we should maybe do instead of bomb Syria is just open up a majestic wine warehouse there.
Oh, that's
classic.
And a flagship, Oddbins, and let people get stuck in. There you go. That's the kind of interesting, innovative angle you get on this show.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to Fubar Radio. Mark Dolan eats the news at 12:24 in the company of comedians Dave Mulholland and Eleanor Conway. Let's talk about value and value supermarkets. Inside the store where everything costs 25p, yes, the Mail Online are very excited about a pilot scheme created by EasyJet founder Stelios Hadjiyannou. And what he's done is created a format in which everything in the store is 25p. Now, we have an update to that story, which has just come in this morning, which is that store has now had to close because such was the stampede of people. And there were individuals going in there. You know those big blue IKEA bags?
Yeah.
So they were just, it was like baked beans and everything. They were just going crazy. But I see a seismic change in our shopping habits, Eleanor Conway, that previously, I would say pre-downturn, your choice of supermarket reflected your position in society. Correct. And you had your Waitrose customers. It's like, oh, look at me, aren't I doing well? I just wonder whether since the downturn, value is something we all crave. You know, Aldi, supermarket of the year, Lidl opening three branches a week, 25p store stampede. It's not only the poor. Everyone loves a bit of value now.
Well, I think that Aldi is an example. I'm guessing what's happened is Aldi's come in and gone, hang on, there's lots of overheads that people like Waitrose are putting onto their business model, and they've just gone, we can strip this right back, make a ton. And they've done that, and it's kind of, you know, it's worked, isn't it? It's good. I tell you what, though, I wouldn't want to eat any fresh meat from that 25 pence store.
I know what you mean. I worry about their chickens. I would imagine they're slightly radioactive or have three legs.
They did not have a happy death.
Yeah, roadkill casserole.
Also, I'm not sure you'd want to spend an evening on the 25p store own brand vodka either. I think that would be...
Oh, no.
I think that might lead to a hangover.
Just, think so.
Just a bit, yeah. I'm not sure it would play well in LA, that product. But I wonder, I mean, here's a change, isn't it? Certainly in the 15 years since you've been here, the Brits are now finally, I think, seeing value as a virtue and not caring how it looks.
Yeah, that was one of the things when I first moved over that I noticed that was such a big... it was so noticeable to me, is that people went, well, it's inexpensive, so it can't be good. I wouldn't dare buy that. It's too cheap. And now people are going, no, that's actually got some value to it.
I know quite a few people who look at Lidl and go like,
no, that's actually a pretty good supermarket.
I think it's a change in thinking. You've got to realise eBay wasn't... eBay and the sort of marketplace and the sort of international bidding marketplace has really kind of made it acceptable to look for a bargain and realise... those expensive products might be a bit suspect.
Yeah, just a little. Okay, well, this one's going to run and run. It's 12:26. It's Mark Dolan Eats the News. And after some Arctic Monkeys, we're going to be looking at 12 years of Facebook. Could you live without it? I'm about to go and check my status now. This is Fubar.
Pretend to stand by it. I know you're certain we'll fail. Well, I've seen your eyes as they fix on me, full of confusion. Your snarl is just so condescending. Try to explain that we're on to a win. If the fee we are in, they recoup what we're spending. He said, I can't believe that you drove all that way. Well, how much did they pay? All you people are vampires, and all your stories are stale. And though you pretend to stand by us, I know you're certain we'll fail. Cause all you people are vampires, and all your stories are stale. I know you pretend. certain we'll fail.
Sounds of the Arctic Monkeys on FUBAR Radio at 12:31, the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. We're going to talk about 12 years of Facebook. Feels like it's been around forever. Before we do that, we're going to do a couple of things. First of all, Eleanor Conway,
yes.
I'd like to get the plug. You're always selling. That's the thing about
selling.
The Conway.
Always hustling.
Always. And I like it. It's the talk show tradition. Years ago, a television executive said to me, never go on a chat show unless you're plugging.
Absolutely.
Right, always plugging. And so, tell me what you're plugging.
I'm running a show in West London on the 20th of Feb. It's called Gospeloki. It's a big Saturday night out at Mode. So if you ever want to sing karaoke where you're backed by a live gospel choir, this is the night for you.
I beg your pardon. I think that's a big fat yes from me. Did you say the 20th of February?
Yes, it's a big Saturday night, 20th of February at Mode.
Now, I know Mode. I've strutted my stuff at Mode. I've done a turn there. It's a beautiful venue.
It's a wicked
underneath
venue.
What would appear to be a bridge.
Yeah, it's wicked. It's
in
really
old London
amazing.
Town. It's under the iconic Westway.
Yeah, and it's got an organ that shoots out confetti. So even if you hate singing karaoke and you hate
sorry,
music,
did you say someone's got an organ that shoots out confetti? And
yeah,
who
yeah,
is
yeah.
she?
She will be there if you want to come and join
us. I mean, that's worth the ticket price alone. So it's underneath the Westway. It's not a structurally sound building. But health and safety issues aside, Mode's gorgeous. It's a very premium venue.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And you're there and you're doing your thing. And it's because a lot of the stuff, apart from the stand-up comedy you do,
yeah.
a lot of the events that you host are about people letting their hair down, making an idiot of themselves,
yeah.
just having fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gospeloki is one of them. And then I run a free new material comedy night, which you've played at, Mark.
Which is beautiful.
Sunday Hangover. And that's this Sunday, the 7th, at the Proud Archivist in Haggerston. Well,
it's perfect hangover fare, because what happens is, hopefully not for the comedians, but for the audience, because, you know, the punters maybe had a slow Sunday, a bit
exactly.
of a lie. they've finally they've got their first Bloody Mary going in around midday. Yep. Hair of the dog.
Yep.
They cruise in to the proud archivist.
Yeah, yeah. Right on the canal. It's beautiful.
It's a lovely bit of the. If you're outside London, apologies for this, but when you're in London, you should just check out that area.
Is it gorgeous.
Haggerston? What are we calling
it's gorgeous.
It?
Gorgeous Haggerston. Yeah.
And it's on the canal.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And then what they do is they ease themselves and they watch established famous comedians doing material that doesn't work yet.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
And isn't ready.
Yeah, completely.
And it's lovely process to watch, of course. Now, David, you promote the Soho Comedy Club chain.
Yeah.
Which has, at the very least, two iconic venues. One at the Prince of Wales.
Yeah.
And the other one is...
Seven Dials
in the heart of Covent Garden. So that's beautiful. There's something very interesting.
And we have a Monday new material night.
Which is great. It's always busy. It's a lovely night to
Now,
see.
Where is that?
That's right next to Leicester Square Tube Station.
Perfect. Is that old rope? No, which one is it?
No, it's at the round table.
That's right. That's fantastic. Now, there's something fascinating about watching comedians trying out their new material, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's an interesting process to watch for an audience.
It is an interesting, and often you see how good the new material is with you know, good experienced comedians, and even if it's not all that good, it's well delivered.
Yeah, that's it. I know, done with aplomb, because the comedian in their bones still needs to make, you know, they need the approval of the audience. I don't know any comedians with such a brass neck that they can do 10 minutes and not get a single laugh, even if it's new material. Yeah. You still need to try and make it vaguely entertaining. So 20th of February at Gospel Oaky. Why is it called Gospel Oaky?
Because it's karaoke, but you're backed by a gospel choir.
Oh my god, that's quite nicely done. You're a bit of a branding queen, aren't you?
I have to give credit to my partner in crime, Johnny Unknown.
Can you tell me what you're going to be? We love Johnny Unknown. Tell me what you'll be wearing.
I can't tell you.
But can I be honest with you? It's never much, and that's all I'm saying.
Oh, come on. I'm a changed woman. I at least cover my vagina.
Okay, well, that's... Do you know what? It's the first time that David and I have been speechless in the last hour.
There's no
reply to your vagina, I've got to say.
There never is.
Now, listen, let's have a full stop. We've had tweets in regarding alcohol and drinking. And Jimmy in Camden has said, booze just makes me happy. Everything in moderation. Hashtag nanny state. So that's quite an interesting angle. Because the thing is, you were going to mention something about the regions, because obviously it's worse up north, isn't it?
Yeah, way worse. It's hugely worse up north, and it's the northwest and the northeast of England that are the worst. And for women, it's the northeast, so it's basically Newcastle. And I mean, for both regions, it's absolutely the highest up there. And who would have thought that living in darkness and eating a diet of Greggs and deep-fried self-loathing is bad for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. Who knew?
But also in the Northeast, I mean, if anyone has been to Newcastle on a Friday or Saturday night, look, apparently women going out in freezing weather with skirts so short you can see their spleen, that might have something to do with the risk. And I thought it was funny because for men, the worst is in the north, in the northwest. But yeah, of course, that's because the men are competing between Liverpool and Manchester. They're competing on who can drink the most. And you know, hey, there's a clue here in the name, Liverpool.
Yeah. Well, gosh, this is a very, very, very good point. As a Brit now, I'm feeling very self-flagellating. I've got to say one last word on the alcohol, though, which is that the more that people drink, the funnier us comedians seem to get.
Absolutely.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Facebook is 12, and it's been a very big sort of year for Facebook, because Mark Zuckerberg has... A few things have happened. First of all, Facebook has started making money. Now, Facebook was floated on the US stock exchange a year and a half ago, and immediately the stock value went down. So it looked like could have been the biggest sort of white elephant in sort of US corporate history. In fact, not. It's held up. The number of people on Facebook every day now has gone beyond a billion, which is a healthy old figure. And they're making money too. In fact, they turned over $2.5 billion in the last quarter. So Facebook is in very rude health. Mark Zuckerberg, who, by the way, is so young and has such a long life of wealth and success ahead of him. I mean, the old corporate model is that the richest guys are like these old, you know, the octogenarian in his Ferrari with the model girlfriend, you know, but just on the verge of death. The kind of the Warren Buffett sort of...
Or Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch, who's well into his 80s. Jesus. Mark Zuckerberg's in his 30s. So for the rest of his adult life, he's just going to be Mark Zuckerberg. He's got decades of being Mark Zuckerberg. That's not bad, is it?
Well, yeah, it's amazing.
I think it's brilliant because it means money becomes less of the goal, doesn't it? And then he can do some real philanthropic things.
Well,
good stuff, basically.
I agree with you there. And one of the first philanthropic things he's done is probably the biggest of all, which is that his daughter was born and he pledged to give away 99% of the shares in Facebook, which today is approximately $45 billion. So it's quite... I'm sure that the daughter's thinking, Dad, what the hell are you doing?
I don't think she's thinking that yet. I think she's thinking, no, I don't want to eat that, and hasn't figured out how to say it yet.
That's it. But when she turns 16 and she's planning her sweet 16 party and found out Dad's given away the company, it's going to be a bad day.
You know, 1% of that amount of money is still a lot of money.
It most certainly is. And also there's another caveat, which is that he's going to give away those shares in the course of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. He might want to invest it in other stuff.
So if I was him, I'd hang on to it till I'm about 99 and just have a great time between
now and
then.
Yeah, she's only going to inherit tens of millions.
Yeah. The poor little petal.
The poor, yes.
So Facebook itself, David, could you live without it? I'm assuming you're on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I find it. Yeah, it's 12th birthday of Facebook. Like 12 years of... Not so much a slave. And I use it all the time. I mean, in fact, I recently came to the conclusion that I have to quit making comments on Facebook and actually put that mental power to good use.
I know.
Other than a comment that four people read.
Yeah, you're in front of a real actual audience. Because that's one of the problems with social media, isn't it, Eleanor? Is it's the sort of the illusion of an audience. And people are out there and they're tweeting comments about this and that. And no one's watching, no one's listening, no one cares. Why do we do it?
No, it's just white noise, isn't it? It's about getting your personal brand out there, but no one's really listening to what anyone else is saying. It's all like it's like someone on coke, but times a billion per day.
Yeah.
It's like they're all telling you how fabulous their life is, but no one's really listening.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And even if you do have a big audience, they've sort of done some research into the marketing power of someone like Rihanna with, like, you know, 30 million Twitter followers. And these people tweet about fashion lines, about their new record, about their new TV show. And in fact, it barely makes a sort of dent.
Well, actually, there's a rise. You know, there was something in the papers or something today or yesterday, and it kind of gauges all the new sort of superstars, like the YouTube superstars, like Zoella and people like that, against someone that's kind of been corporate, like a corporation megastar, like a Rihanna or someone like that. And the kind of traction with their audience, if you're talking about the YouTube people, is much higher, and it's much more like they'll believe you more, and it's more like you're like me, and they'll listen to what you have to say, and you know they're much more forgiving about brands being integrated into the content.
That's a really interesting analysis, because a lot of what you do is social media, isn't it? And you were an early adopter of it.
Yeah, I mean, I lived in Asia for about 6 years, and I created lots of online content before Britain was doing it for lots of music brands, and I was presenting and doing lots of online stuff for Ministry of Sound out there. So I've always done like online stuff and online content, and then I ran a couple of online sort of... I had like the agents of Zoella and a couple of YouTubers in to do a talk at Shoreditch House last month as well. So,
well, that's brilliant. Can I ask for a little bit of sort of crystal ball gazing and ask you whether you think that Facebook is a sort of long-term platform that's going to stay? And also I'll ask the same question of Twitter.
Yes, as long as Mark Zuckerberg stays at the helm. If you look at MySpace, for example, which was the early kind of social network that we all remember.
Which, by the way, was actually quite good.
It was good. Mm-hmm. But then,
I liked it.
But then the famous Tom sold it to AOL, and he wasn't part of the deal. And basically it just kind of went mental, and no one really paid attention anymore. But Mark Zuckerberg is still part of the team, and he's curating it. And they always say that as soon as a company gets bought out by another company, a parent company or whatever, that it kind of... the spirit of the company leaves, basically. And I think the same with Twitter. I think that the fundamental...
I love the way you've just been tweeted. I mean, you are so 24/7. You're a very online person.
I am. It's because I have no one to love me at home.
I bumped into you in the green room before we started the show. I gave you a hug, and I thought, I'm hugging someone that's just... You're online. You're live.
I'm live right now, baby.
She periscoped the hug.
I did.
Your allergy is trending. I mean, you are...
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Hashtag Lurgy, guys. Hashtag Lurgy. Come on, let's make this go viral.
Can we have your... let's make this go viral can be a bad sentence, but on this occasion, not so much. So I wonder, I'm going to contend that Facebook, yes, Twitter, I think Twitter is going to go the way of MySpace, because I feel that the content that you have, that you consume in Facebook, is very much curated by you. You follow your friends. When I look at the feed of Facebook, yeah, I'm enjoying most of it because I know or like these people, and they've just had a baby, or they've just written a joke or whatever. Whereas Twitter, the actual news feed from Twitter is just, it's junk mail, isn't it?
Well, Twitter is very early in its sort of development, comparably with Facebook. Facebook really concentrated on the humanistic aspect of what the interface was in order to kind of get everyone involved and make it useful for everyone else. They've got a really large user base. Twitter, they're investing a lot in video. I think Periscope is part of Twitter, which I don't think Periscope has really picked up. But Facebook has now started really pushing the video thing. So I think whoever occupies that video space in the next 5 years is going to be... is going to be the person that takes the lead.
And here's the next question. Google have just gone past Apple as the, by sort of capitalization, by capital value, the most wealthiest, most valuable brand in the world, Google. Apple number two. This is in the same month that Tim Cook has announced that he's expecting a slight reduction in iPhone sales for the next quarter. And that's the first time since the arrival of the iPhone 8 years ago. Is Apple on its way out?
No. No, it's not. But they...
are we going to stop upgrading our phones at some point?
I think at some point people start slowing down how fast they upgrade. The new Apple phones are very expensive. They're very good, but they're very expensive.
Yeah.
And aren't the gains marginal
these days?
I think the gains are quite marginal. Yeah. I mean, the 6 is only a little bit bigger than the 5. I'm going to upgrade, but I'm on my phone all the time. But I've got to tell you, I think mobile phone companies, like the new Samsung, it's not very good.
See? Interesting. So you think Samsung have lost ground, actually, just in the arms race that they're fighting with Apple?
Which says that they're just as good, but my girlfriend's company, everyone got the brand new Samsung, and they have all ceremoniously thrown it into the trash can because they've had so much problems with it and gotten LG phones, they're now happy with.
Well, that's one of the key things that Apple, the selling point that they've always had, that they always will have, is that their software is hardwired into the hardware. It's basically a mesh of the two things, that the devices are built with the software and the hardware in mind, whereas obviously Samsung and the others have to carry a Google operating system. So that's a compromise,
Android,
isn't it? Android.
I've recently changed from Apple to Sony, and I was really not liking it. And then, there's good things. I think Apple is great. I do think Apple is great. I think the other brands are okay, but they're more shaky. They're more shaky, guys, but then, Apple's
so you've,
expensive.
You've given up drinking. Yeah. You've got rid of your iPhone.
I know. Who am I?
You're just not the woman I knew.
I know.
Speaking of stuff that happens on social media, the most interesting thing about Facebook is when scandal occurs. there's a great story of a bigamist who's caught out when his first wife sees pictures of his wedding to his second wife on Facebook. Why do people do this? Why do people go on? The other thing that people do on Facebook.
So you can't do that on Twitter?
That's a very, very good point. Here's the silly thing. You get people who are illegally claiming benefits because they claim to be disabled. They can't work. They're like, I'm wheelchair bound. I can't walk more than a foot. And then they go on Facebook and post pictures of themselves abseiling and doing, sort of marathons and Ironman competitions and stuff. What is this foolishness?
Because, if someone's gone, found a crafty way to make some money, if that's the level of craftiness that they've got to, it's not going to be replicated in the other areas of their life. If they were that crafty, they would have got a job.
I know. It's a very, very good point. The canoe couple. Do you remember the guy who faked his own death? And he was photographed and it went on social media. That's probably no. If you're hiding, I wouldn't tweet pictures of yourself.
Well, I think the younger generation have, because I'm so in touch with the younger generation.
So I've heard.
Yeah.
Well, you've got more energy now.
Yeah, no, I have, and I've picked up. I think people that are younger, stay away from social media, like personal social media. It's all about creating that sort of veneer. I thought I had a point when I was going to start the sentence, but
I think you did the point. Let's get on to Ellie Taylor, who's an excellent comedian who I think we all know.
Yes.
She's a very funny comic from Essex, and she's created a bit of a viral sensation this week. Why I'm happy not to be a mother, says the article. Comedian celebrates the upside of being childless by posting wine and sleeping selfies that sweep the internet.
Amazing.
It's very, very funny, and also addresses an issue, which is the slight judgment of women in our society for daring not to reproduce.
Well, I think people that have babies are so, like, remorseful. They can't believe they've done it. That's my phone going mental. Just people just tweeting me. Love it. Thanks.
I think it's the results of the pregnancy test.
Oh, really? You're possible. Pregnant, Mark.
Yes, I am.
I'm the father.
I'm assuming that's what the lump is in my tummy.
Can't remember what my point is, but I don't want kids.
Do you feel, as a young woman about town...
Oh, bless you.
Do you ever feel judged for not, you know, Eleanor, when are you going to have kids?
No. My family are very much aware that no lineage is coming out of my... oh my god, I forgot to put my phone off. No lineage is coming out of me.
I told you she's online.
I know. I'm so sorry. It's so unprofessional. Yeah, nothing's coming out of me.
Okay. And why?
Right. Okay. Well, firstly, I like my life. And secondly, what's the point?
Lions, disposable income.
Yep.
Your boobs remaining intact.
Absolutely. They just seem pointless, if I'm really honest. They seem absolutely pointless.
So you really have
pointless.
No interest. What if
no
you met some sort of lookalike of the milk tray man who that was topical, wasn't it?
Yeah,
this week. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
If he turned up at your front door.
Well, actually, do you know what? I've got a strategy. I know I'm only Tinder age 31, but I've got an idea that I just need to wait a few years and then everyone will start getting divorced, so I can just pick up all the hot divorced dads.
Very, very cunning.
Yeah.
Do you think, David, that women are sort of expected to have babies still?
I think they are. And I know this is kind of a touchy thing to say, but there's an awful lot of people in the world. And I think if you look around, if you're honest to yourself, you see some people that you think, oh, I kind of wish you weren't reproducing yourself.
yeah, there are a few people that one would like to deprive of the ability to reproduce.
We shouldn't have that. I mean, you look at how many children are deprived or abused and that sort of thing. It's like, someone doesn't want to have kids, don't push them to have kids.
Yeah.
We don't need any more abused kids in the world.
Yeah.
We need well brought up, well behaved, intelligent kids to become adults rather than, I don't know. I feel I'm treading on risky ground here.
No, I think it's. I think you're having a little kind of right wing Richard Littlejohn moment, and that's fine. You're allowed. We all have that part of us inside of us.
I've got a stat for you. Apparently, according to the Guardian 2014 study, it costs £222,000 to raise a child from year dot to 21. That is a lot of money. The national average is 1.8. So let's just round that up to two, guys. That's £444,000, right? I could buy a flat for that.
You can't argue with that. I've got to say, you have my blessing.
Thank you.
Keep that chastity belt on and throw away the key.
Do you know that's not even true? People didn't use chastity belts for the thing that you think they did.
Oh, really? What was the chastity belt used for?
I think it's just for fetish people.
Oh, you
read it in the Guardian
every day. Oh my god, what a fount of knowledge! You're listening to this.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Now, you've got to love the Italians. There's so many reasons why, but one is a story that emerged this week. I mean, only an Italian court could make this verdict. Groping women in the workplace is perfectly legal as long as it's for fun rather than sexual pleasure. That's according to Italian judges who have ruled after clearing a 65-year-old man of harassing female staff with his wandering hands. Eleanor, we're focusing a lot on you today on the show.
That's fine,
I love
a little
bit, but you're being used as a case study for every story. A lot of stories are affecting the females
women.
This week.
What
do we think? Is there ever an argument for the wandering hands?
Well, no, not at all. What I find really weird is that, you know, in media right now, we've got a lot of access to, you know, female sexuality is leveraged a lot for a lot of things, and it's very widely, and we're kind of encouraged to be sexual and kind of have this feminist movement. But then you've still got this, like, misogynistic sort of grabby thing. And that guy Roosh V, that pickup artist, was recently, he's been trying to get into Australia and things like that. I'm just like, what's going on?
Yeah, tell us about that. You have to explain that story. I was really shocked about that.
Right, so
he's supposedly a sort of pro rape
God, he's
person,
an idiot,
if that's possible to be.
Right, so he writes this blog called Return of Kings, and it's like the rise of the like neo masculine, he kind of purports to kind of head up this movement where men who feel demasculated, I don't even know if that's a real word.
Demasculated
by feminism can kind of regroup and reassert their alpha maleness.
Yeah.
And it goes on the kind of like thinking of like pickup artists, which involves things like negging. So telling someone in, you know, that's negative so that they seek your affection or seek your validation.
Right.
And it's all it's a bit predatory and it's a bit nasty. And they run a lot of PUA workshops in London and around the world. He's written a book where he actually claims to have raped someone when he was overseas. He was like, if I was in the US, I would have been charged with rape. And he thinks that if someone is raped on private property, it's okay.
Wow.
What? Yeah, he says this, and he stands by it. So I know Australia banned some other guy from running pickup artist workshops in their country, and Roosh V tried to get into Australia again. He tried to get a visa. They said, no, I don't think so. But off the back of it, I'm sure he's sold lots of books.
I think we'll give Roosh V the V sign on
this
show.
Yeah, nice move.
I think let's not give him the oxygen of publicity or even oxygen. However, it does... I think it's a grey area, because clearly groping is not acceptable. But, I mean, for the course of this show, I've had my hand on David Mulholland's left buttock, and I think it.
And it's a very nice hand.
I feel that what it does, I get a better performance out of you. I really feel you raise your game when we're intimate. But it is a slightly grey area, though, isn't it? Clearly, groping is not acceptable. But then again,
they did it in the 70s, didn't they?
Well, that's the old question. At the same time, certainly in the circles that you move in the sort of artistic environment, bohemian characters, yeah, it is quite a tactile world. So you have to sort of, you've got to constantly judge it, actually, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. Essentially, it's okay if it's welcomed.
Right, yeah.
I think that's, you know, if you give someone a hug hello and they don't want to be hugged, don't do it.
Yeah.
And don't slap them on.
Where do you stand
butt
on tickling? Because I like to do is go behind someone and then squeeze them in the middle at the sides. And I just do it to males now because it's harder for them to prosecute.
Yeah, sure. There is a thing called boundaries.
But
that's
quite funny to make someone leap because you've just squeezed their sides or something. My dad used to when we were in the car, he would squeeze my upper leg, you know, just give it a big old, and it was like very amusing to him to tickle us, you know. And I think maybe that's the only thing, is that groping, not good.
What about licking your finger and stick it in someone's ear? I don't know.
Oh, gross.
I think that's kooky and sweet.
I don't.
But all I'm saying is, okay, so we hate groping, but am I the only person that misses tickling? No one tickles anymore.
No, I'm not. No
one. When was the last time you were tickled, Mulholland?
Much too long ago, I think. I think that's the answer to that.
I think that probably is. I was tickle pink to have both of you here today. It's been such a treat. I've got to say this. I can't be the judge because it's my show with my name in it. But I think it's been potentially the best one. And 99% down to you two. So, Eleanor Conway.
Thank you.
What's the Twitter handle so people can go and see Gospel Oki at Mode?
Okay, yes.
In town.
Come and find us online at Gospel Oki. We do regular monthly residencies in East London, but please come and see us at February the 20th in West London.
And we need the Twitter handle for the Soho Comedy Club, please.
It is at Soho Comedy Club.
Okay, I'm feeling that. I'm in. You're listening to FUBAR Radio here at the Maccabees.
Woo!
It's an absolutely lovely tune. This is Kamakura. Coming up next on FUBAR Radio, Hugh Joseph and Mikhail Michael. Well done, me. I'm always attention to detail, man. They are up next, and it's very funny. This is FUBAR Radio. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in a week's time. Don't go anywhere. Thanks to Eleanor and David, and thanks for listening. I heard nothing.